A reading from Hebrews chapter 11, starting at verse 23. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be ill-treated along with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient.
Thank you, Rob. So we're going to look at that passage this morning. But first of all, we have a challenge for anyone who likes the challenge while we're listening to what's being said. And the challenge is, you may all have laughed at me. Well, you didn't all. But the challenge is to draw or make an action. Okay, so you can draw one, as in Pictionary. We can all look afterwards and see what we think it is. Or you can make one out of your Lego or your Fimo or whatever you like to make things out of. An action, because we're thinking about actions this morning. Well, today we've hit the 23rd verse of the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, meaning that so far we have walked through 22 verses of the Great Hall of Faith. And along the way, we've encountered many people already, heroes of the faith highlighted by the author, people such as Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. We've heard snippets of their stories, and we've contemplated faith and what this meant for them, and subsequently what it means for us today. Some of them have had a very brief mention, one moment in their lives that is lifted high in this passage, while others have stayed with us for a little longer, exemplars of faith that hold the spotlight. And today, as we start the next section, we encounter one of these greats, someone who has already featured highly in the book of Hebrews, someone the Jewish readers of the time held in high regard, a giant of the faith, an extraordinary founder, the orchestrator of all they grew up believing and living by. Today, of course, we begin by focusing on Moses. And because of his greatness within the Jewish faith and his standing in the history of Israel, it might be expected that this section of Hebrews 11 will be extensive, the highlight maybe, the centrepiece of the Great Hall of Faith itself. And yet, although taking up a number of verses, this potted history of Moses is surprisingly sparse. For a start, it doesn't begin with Moses at all, or at least not a Moses that can act in any significant way, because instead it begins with his parents, who, having had Moses during the oppression of Israel in Egypt, instead of complying with the king's edict, which stated that all Israelite baby boys should be killed, they decide to hide Moses for 3 months, keeping him safe at home at risk to their own lives until they can hide him no more. And then, needing to get him away from their home, they place him in a papyrus basket and float him down the Nile in the hope that he will survive, one male at least, to preserve Israel. Of course, we know from Exodus chapter 2 that following this, the story goes that when Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. And upon finding little Moses within it, she felt sorry for him and decided to keep him, bringing him up in the household of Pharaoh himself. A miracle, not only of survival, but also of God's orchestration to provide Moses and Israel with what they needed to survive. But it began with the faith of Moses' parents, two people who, while journeying with God, found the need to take an act of defiance against the powers of the day, standing up against Pharaoh because they believed that God's ways would prevail. And it seems this act of defiance sets the scene for the life of Moses himself, who, although brought up in the most powerful household in the land, the house of Pharaoh, saw it necessary to refuse this status, to refuse to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and subsequently to refuse to settle down into this privilege, to refuse to enjoy the advantages of this upbringing, to refuse to distance himself from the plight of his own people, and instead, as Hebrews said, to choose to be ill-treated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. And so rather than staying in the unjust environment of Egypt when he had the fortune and the power and the privilege because of the suffering of others, Moses chose, as his parents before him, to be defiant, to stand against the powers of his day. And by faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger, but instead looking to God and trusting his life to him. Of course, from the book of Exodus, we know that there's much more to the story than these few verses in the book of Hebrews, and that Moses' defiance actually began with anger and murder. And his leaving, far from being bold and brave, was out of necessity as Pharaoh tried to kill him because of the murder he had committed. We know that behind these words in Hebrews, there is a much more multicoloured picture of Moses' faith. But we also know that, as with his parents, Moses' defiance was due to his journeying with God. We know that he was looking to God for the future. We know that he was focused on what was to come. We know that he believed God's ways would prevail. And so, just like them, he found himself taking an act of defiance against the powers of the day. Murder may not have been the best act he could have carried out, but he took a stand. And because he did, and he didn't go back on that, because he turned his back on privilege and comfort and power at the expense of others, God found him again at the burning bush in the land of Midian, still journeying in his faith. And he called Moses to come back again to Egypt, but this time to come back as a leader appointed by God, so that he could stand defiant with the power of Almighty God behind him. And so Hebrews goes on to describe this continuing journey of faith, a faith that saw Moses return and lead the people in Passover, trusting that the doors painted with blood would protect them from God's judgment. A faith that saw Moses return and lead Israel out of slavery as Pharaoh relented and let them go. A faith that saw Moses return and part the Red Sea so Israel could walk through to safety as the Egyptian army failed. A faith that saw Moses stand against powers that could never be defeated and subsequently watch them fall. Because you see, just like his parents before him, Moses' faith, as depicted in the book of Hebrews, was a faith that brought him into conflict with those around. Not because he was naturally defiant or enjoyed confrontation, quite the opposite, it would seem. But because in Moses' walk with God, in his ongoing journey towards the one he had put his trust in, Moses came into contact with the injustice of his day, and his faith compelled him to act. It makes me think of Desert Island Discs I was listening to the other day. When I go on my run now, I listen to Desert Island Discs because it takes my mind off all the terrible pain that I'm in. And I was listening to a classic Desert Island Disc with Desmond Tutu, which was recorded, I think, in 1994. And it was amazing. Some of you might have heard it from years ago. We all know Desmond Tutu as an archbishop, really, who stood against apartheid and fought for equality and still continues to do that. But I found out, as some of you may know, that he began life as a teacher. That's what he wanted to do. That's what he wanted to be. He trained to be a teacher. And he started teaching young children in South Africa. And he loved his job. The two things he loved, he said, was he loved God and he loved his job. That's what he wanted to do. And he thought this is what he would do for the rest of his life. But then apartheid became law. And his job turned into something he hadn't expected. His role, instead of teaching children all about life and how they could live and the wonders that this would unfold for them, was to teach them just enough language so that they would understand the orders they would be given by their white superiors later in life. That's what his job became, so that they could serve others. And it was at this point that Desmond Tutu said he realised that although he loved teaching, and he thought this is what he would always do, he knew then he had to give it up. He had to take a stand against the leaders of the day, because he believed that these young children were worth just as much as anyone else. He believed that God had more for them than to be servants of others. And ultimately, he believed that God's ways would prevail. And it was this faith that demanded that he took a stand. So he refused to teach what he was told, and he stepped away from his role. We know that he went on to train in the church and make many more acts of defiance, just like Moses. Because just like Moses, Desmond Tutu's faith compelled him to act. It was not simply a personal faith that helped him through difficult situations. And it was not simply a belief that he used when he had to make a decision about his own personal circumstance. But instead, his faith was an action, and is an action, that took him from walking with God on an individual level to standing against the powers of his day. Because in his journey with God, these two paths happened to cross. And so defiance became part of his faith. And this is not unusual. It's not exclusive only to Moses and people like Desmond Tutu. We see it in others too, not least the two characters mentioned later after Moses in the book of Hebrews. Joshua, although not mentioned by name here, was clearly the leader who led the Israelite army as they marched around the walls of Jericho for 7 days. He was a leader who, because of his journey with God, faced the might of a great opposition. And instead of shying away from this conflict, he chose to put God front and centre in one of the strangest defeats recorded, as he led Israel in a bizarre ritual of marching and trumpet blowing, which resulted in the walls of Jericho tumbling down. And then Rahab, known throughout scripture as the prostitute Rahab, a woman unnoticed and uncared for, who, because of her faith, instead of stepping out of the way of conflict, chose to believe God's ways and God's promises and defied her leaders and her city, saving the spies of Israel and subsequently her own life and the life of her family. Because you see, it wasn't that Moses and Joshua and Rahab were special individuals, and it isn't that Desmond Tutu is a human unlike any around him. It's simply that the journey of these individuals with God brought them into conflict, and in so doing, their faith compelled them to act and to take a stand against the powers of their day. Because you see, the thing about faith is that it's not passive and it's not private. It's not something that allows us the luxury of being comfortable. We cannot have faith and believe God's ways are best and right and the ones that will prevail and never bump into situations that go against this and call us to take a stand. We simply cannot live our lives like that. We could choose to ignore these situations. We could, for instance, choose to hide behind our privilege or our upbringing or our inherited power, and choose to ignore the stand our faith calls us to take. But if we journey with God, we simply cannot avoid situations and structures that are at odds with the kingdom of God. And therefore, we cannot avoid the defiance we are called to make. Of course, the things we do may not be like that of Moses or Joshua. But if our faith is worth anything, we will need to take a stand that risks our own personal comfort, whether this be ethical choices that cost us more, or conversational choices that cause us to stand out, or social choices that label us as different, or the bigger issues of our time that call for us to stand with those in need rather than those in power. Because if the great hall of faith shows us anything, it is that faith is always active. And when we commit to journeying with God, whatever era or time or country we live in, and however old or young we may happen to be, our faith at times will cause us to decide whether we need to make a stand. And also what the Great Hall of Faith shows us is that if we do take a stand, we can be assured that just like Moses and Joshua and Rahab and Desmond Tutu and so many others, we will find that the God who stood with them will also stand with us as well. It's very challenging when we think about faith has not been personal and private, but been something which causes us to stand out. And I'm sure many of us have had moments when we have had those choices to make. And sometimes we've made the choice to stand out, and sometimes we've made the choice to just hide behind the comforts that we have. Things to think about, because, you know, remind ourselves that faith is an action. We're living for God in the things that we do. And so as we go through this week, as we live for God, as we journey with him, may we be aware of the things that we face. May we be aware of what our faith calls us to do. And may we have the boldness to live for God in all situations. May God bless us and keep us and walk. Amen.